First to Ukraine, where Prime Minister Yatsenyuk has said he will ask the parliament to begin moves to allow the country to join NATO, a move more or less guaranteed to draw some response from Russia. The Prime Minister's remarks came as NATO was holding an emergency meeting to discuss the crisis. Yesterday, the organisation released satellite images which it said proved that Russian forces were operating inside Ukraine. Russia, of course, continues to deny that it has sanctioned military involvement in the conflict between rebels and Ukrainian forces. So where from here might it go? Journalist and author Edward Lucas joins us on the line. Edward Lucas, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
The move to join NATO, this is exactly what Putin didn't want, doesn't want. How might he react?
Well, I think he'll be extremely upset about it. And in a way, it fits in the sort of Russian myth that the West is trying to grab Ukraine. But I think actually the NATO response may be rather lukewarm. President Obama has already said very clearly there's not going to be a military response from the West to the attack on Ukraine. And there are many NATO countries, particularly the South European ones, which are very unwilling to get into a confrontation with Russia. So I wonder how well prepared the ground's been for this. It looks to me like a bit of a desperate throw of the dice by Yatsenyuk, because the Ukrainians are now in rather serious trouble with the new front being opened in the south of the country, which was used over the last 24 hours, and a full-scale Russian invasion seemingly underway, and not getting the sort of support they expected from the West.
If we accept, then, as you clearly do, that Russia has boots on the ground, that this is an invasion in incremental stages, can we take it that Russia will eventually drop the pretense altogether and just send in more troops with the accompanying justification, whatever that might be?
I think it's looking that way, that everything the Ukrainians do to defend themselves, the Russians say is a provocation and then escalate. So when the Ukrainians changed their government, which was extremely corrupt and authoritarian, the Russians said that was impermissible, it was a coup, and then they stoked the separatists, first of all Crimea and then the East. When the Ukrainians try and put that insurrection down, the Russians accuse them of waging war on their own people and start supplying the insurgents with arms and training and all sorts of intelligence, and in fact I would say leadership. And then as the Ukrainians start winning the war, which they were until recently, the Russians then escalate again and send heavy weapons in, and what we've seen in the last 48 hours. So I think that the Russians are hoping that Ukraine's going to break, that they're going to run out of money, that they're war weary, that they're not getting the support from the West that they need, and that they'll be able to create a kind of frozen conflict of the kind we've seen elsewhere in the former Soviet Union, where there's a ceasefire line and a chunk of territory on one side of it which is de facto under Russian control, even though it actually belongs to another country.
Well, if, as you say, Obama, and he was very clear, despite the strong words last night, there would be no military involvement and NATO doesn't get militarily involved, and nobody else for that matter, would that suggest that they will again look to increasing the sanctions and hit the Russians even harder with sanctions? And is there any evidence to suggest that that might work?
Not really, I'm afraid. I mean, I think there were three things the West needed to do, and it's failed on all of them. One was to really support Ukraine. Haven't done that. Another was really to raise the cost of doing business for Putin with sanctions that would really hurt. No sign of those happening. These are basically symbolic sanctions. What would really hurt would be freezing Russian assets in the West and things like that. But the West doesn't want to do that because in Europe's case, it's afraid that Russia would cut the gas off. And then the third thing is to really boost NATO and turn it into a proper territorial defense alliance, which would be able to defend the Baltic states and Poland, which are the new frontline states. And I don't think the NATO summit coming up in Wales next week is going to do the necessary on that. So I'm afraid the West has failed on all three counts. Putin sees that, and he's actually doing rather well at the moment.
So having seen a reluctance to get involved in any way meaningful, it's certainly militarily, he saw that they let Crimea slide. He's then working on the basis, is he, that despite any bluster, that East Ukraine will similarly be sacrificed by the West?
I think he has called our bluff, really. We've said we're gravely concerned, it's impermissible, it must stop, and we haven't actually done anything to make it stop. And I think, in a way, he's taunting the West. He says, you know, you don't really, you know, the Ukrainians care about you, but you don't really care about the Ukrainians, and you're going to leave them to twist in the wind, because ultimately you're scared of me, because I've got gas and I've got nuclear weapons. I'm willing to lie very comprehensively and energetically. I'm willing to, yes, you know, so I've got this huge propaganda machine. I've got, you know, I'm decisive. I'm willing to accept a fair amount of pain to get what I want. And you're not prepared to do any of those things. And I think that that's a pretty grim reality for the West right now.
So if it was Crimea yesterday, East Ukraine today, where tomorrow must be the question. What is the end to Mr. Putin's ambitions?
Well, I think that there's a kind of micro and a macro answer to that. The micro answer is probably Moldova, the poorest country in Europe, one with few friends people don't care about much, sadly. I've been there many times and fond of it, but it's in a very weak position. And we're probably going to get a pro-Moscow government coming up in the elections in the autumn, and the European integration process, is going to stall and then reverse in Moldova. But I think that ultimately what Putin wants to do is to bust the whole idea of the West. He wants the Atlantic Alliance to end. He wants America to be fed up with Europe and Europe to be fed up with America. So that's over. And I think he also wants to rewrite the rules on energy. He wants to get back to an era where the energy supplies are done with very long-term contracts decided between governments rather than as a business level. And that would install Russia as the kind of energy provider for Europe for decades to come, with all the political weight that would go with that. He wants to get away from all the, to my mind, admirable liberalization, which the European Union has been doing, which has been trying to turn energy into a sort of normal business and busting the Russian model of energy supply, which is based on cartels and market abuse and a very large dose of corruption. So I think that's the long-term plan. I have to say he's moved a fair way towards it now.
Edward, thank you very much indeed for talking to us this afternoon. That's journalist and author Edward Lucas, and his book, The New Cold War, a revised edition of that, has just been published.